Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on July 4th, 1776, as you know, our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, declaring us free from the nation of Great Britain. And in that Declaration of Independence, they had these words to say: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that all are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." These are words that as Americans we deeply cherish. We cherish the freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And even people, not only in the past, but still in this present day, try to embrace those freedoms by coming to our country so that they can make their lives better, save themselves from oppression, and to be happy. But let's suppose that the Declaration of Independence did not say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but instead it said death, slavery, and being pursued for persecution. If that's what the Declaration of Independence said, do you think anyone would really want to be a part of this nation? I highly doubt it. But the concepts of death, slavery, and being pursued for persecution is what we go through as Christians. In terms of death, Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for me will save it." In terms of slavery, Scripture calls us slaves for Christ because we serve Him as our Lord and Master. And in terms of being pursued for persecution, Jesus said, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you because it first hated me." We will be hated, we will be mocked, we will be persecuted. But the Lord is our strength, He is our courage, and He rescues us from all wicked. You clearly see that in the life of Jeremiah. When God called Jeremiah, he was just a young boy. And therefore, Jeremiah was hesitant to serve the Lord as a prophet because of his young age. But the Lord said to Jeremiah, "I will be with you. I will be your strength. I will give you courage." And so Jeremiah served the Lord for almost 50 years, but his ministry was not an easy one. And God told him that. God said, "You will face opposition," and Jeremiah did. The people vehemently hated him. There were times that he was thrown into prison, and there were a few times when people came up with plots to take his life. Even the verses right before this section, Jeremiah was preaching God's message, and one of the chief priests of the temple had Jeremiah arrested. He was beaten, and he was put in stocks, binding his hands and his feet so that the people could walk on by and mock him. The next day, Jeremiah was released, but this is where he opens up to God. He lays it all out before him. He complains and he says, "O Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed." Now, in what way does Jeremiah think that the Lord has deceived him? It's probably because of what God said to Jeremiah when he first called him. God said, "I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Jeremiah knew that his ministry would tear people down, but God said to Jeremiah that a part of his ministry would also be to build people up. Jeremiah expected that would happen, but from what he could see was only people hating and mocking and persecuting him. Which is why Jeremiah goes on to say, Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Why was Jeremiah's message about violence and destruction? Why was that the bulk of what he had to say to the people? It's because the people in the kingdom of Judah had become so incredibly sinful. It even got to the point where God said to his people that they were worse than the other pagan nations around them. That the other nations could see what the people of Judah were doing, and they would say, I can't believe they would do that. And the Lord was very patient with his people. He waited centuries to see if they would repent and change their ways, and they didn't. And so the Lord had had enough. He sent Jeremiah to the people to tell them that the nation of Judah would be wiped out, their capital city of Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, and that many of them would either be killed or taken into exile as slaves. But the reason that Jeremiah spoke this message was to lead people to save their spiritual souls, to repent of their sins, and they refused. And that's why they hated Jeremiah. They mocked him. They persecuted him. And so ultimately, Jeremiah is saying, Lord, you have deceived me. Every time I speak, it's only about violence. And it almost feels like Jeremiah is saying, Lord, can you just give me a different message to share so that the people will accept it? Do we ever feel like Jeremiah here? As we serve the Lord in his ministry, we are to share the law with people, to tear them down, to show how sinful they are, how they need a Savior, and how they are to repent and turn away from their sins. But here's the thing. No one likes to hear the law. You don't. I don't. Sure, we may be okay with the law when it's in generic terms. Like, hey, we're all sinners. We all mess up. We all do wrong. But when the law is made personal to someone, when it's not generic, but very specific, that's when people hate what we have to say. They will mock us. They will persecute us. And therefore, just like Jeremiah, we can say, Lord, you deceived me. Whenever I share your word, whenever I preach the law, I'm only hated and mocked and persecuted. Can you just give me a different message so that the people will accept it? So the logical conclusion would be this. If we share God's word and we're hated, mocked, and persecuted, then don't speak it. Remain silent. Yet Jeremiah has this to say, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Jeremiah felt like he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. Either he shares the message and he's hated, mocked, and persecuted, or he doesn't share the message and he feels guilty about it. He feels guilty because God's word was in his heart, burning inside of him. And therefore, he was weary of holding it in. And he says, indeed, I can't hold it in. I have to speak it. Do we ever feel like Jeremiah here? Because we don't want to be hated, mocked, and persecuted, we may remain silent and not speak God's word that he has told us to speak to people. And when we do that, how do we feel? We can feel guilty. And if we don't, we should. It is incredibly sinful and selfish for us to know the truth of God's word, to have it in our lives and in our hearts, and not to share that with other people. Imagine if you were spiritually lost And God sent one person to share his message with you, but that one person remained silent, and you were forever spiritually lost. How would you feel? You would be furious. You would be filled with hatred. But when we remain silent, we may leave people to be spiritually lost. And God says he will hold us accountable for that. Yes, he will punish the person for his own sins, but he will also hold us guilty for not speaking his word. And you would think that would motivate us all the more, driving us to speak God's word, even if that means we are hated, mocked, and persecuted. And yet, that hatred, that mockery, that persecution drives us to remain silent. And so, like Jeremiah, we can feel like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. That if we either share the message, we're hated, or if we don't share it, we feel guilty. But this was not the last thing that Jeremiah had to complain about. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him, let's report him. All of my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. Jeremiah felt like everyone was against him, and he was attacked on every side. The people were watching him very closely to see if he did anything wrong, so that they could report him to the officials and possibly take his life. And even Jeremiah's own friends, those whom he should be able to count on, are just watching him, waiting for him to slip so that they could prevail over him and get their revenge against him. Do we ever feel like Jeremiah here? Does it ever feel like everyone is against you and you are attacked on every side? Maybe it can feel that way at work, that if you share your faith or speak about what you believe in, people will report you and you may lose your job. Maybe that feels that way in our society, that if we speak out against anything that our culture has accepted that is sinful, they can report us and sue us for what we preach. Or maybe even our own friends, those whom we should be able to count on, are just waiting for us to slip so that they may gossip about what we have done, or they can call us a hypocrite because we aren't practicing what we are preaching to them. And therefore, they can prevail over us and get their revenge against us. Do we ever feel like Jeremiah? Yeah, we can. We can be hated, mocked, and persecuted for what we say. We may be tempted to remain silent. We may have people, even our own friends, attacking us on every side. That's how Jeremiah felt here. And that's why he opens up and he complains. But so far, we have only looked at what Jeremiah complained about. Let us not forget whom he went to with his complaints. He went to the Lord. He still trusted in him. For Jeremiah said, "But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause." Jeremiah found strength and comfort in the Lord because the Lord was like a mighty warrior for Jeremiah. The Lord protected him. The Lord defended him. The Lord rescued him from the hands of the wicked who were trying to take his life. And Jeremiah knew that the Lord would take out his own vengeance against those who hated, mocked, and persecuted him. For God could see the heart and mind of Jeremiah and realize that he had committed his cause to the Lord. And if the Lord did that for Jeremiah, he will certainly do that for us as well. We can find strength and courage in the Lord because he is a mighty warrior for us. He protects us. He defends us. He rescues us from the hands of the wicked. And on the last day, the Lord will take out his vengeance on those who have hated, mocked, and persecuted us. And for us who have committed our cause to the Lord, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." But what about those times that we did acknowledge Jesus before others and we remained silent? What about all those sins that God holds us accountable and guilty for? Will Jesus acknowledge us or disown us before our Father in heaven? Well, find comfort in the last words that Jeremiah said. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Not only has the Lord rescued us from the hands of wicked people, he has also rescued us from our own wickedness. God saw the greatest need that we had, and he gave us a Savior from our sins. And everything that Jeremiah experienced, everything that you and I can experience, Jesus experienced. When he spoke God's word, it was not always well received. There were people who hated him. There were people who mocked him by saying that he was a crazy person or a person who was demon-possessed. Jesus was attacked on every side. For the Pharisees were watching every single thing that he did, trying to find him doing something wrong so that they could report him and take his life. Even Judas, Jesus' own friend whom he should have been able to count on, was watching Jesus just to see him slip so that he could hand Jesus over to his own enemies who would try to prevail over him and get their revenge against him. Oh, and how easy it could have been for Jesus to remain silent so that he would not be hated, mocked, or persecuted. But if Jesus did that, he would not and could not be our Savior. But Jesus committed his cause to the Lord. He was faithful to him. He turned to the Lord for his strength and for his protection all the way up to the cross, where God took out all his anger, his wrath, and his vengeance for all sin on Christ so that he could rescue us from our sins. Jesus endured all of that hatred, that mockery, that persecution, even the eternal punishment of hell for us. And now he wants us to endure all mockery and persecution and hatred, even death itself for him. And no, it will not always be easy. We will be hated, mocked, and persecuted. We will be tempted to remain silent. We will be attacked on every side. But just like Jeremiah, commit your cause to the Lord. He is our strength and our courage. He protects us. He defends us. He rescues us. He saves us, and he will acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. Therefore, as we sang in the psalm, and this morning is certainly true, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.